The Hot Talk Hotline and Funk Line is 839-9950. We've got Congresswoman Nancy Mace with us, candidate for governor here in the state of South Carolina, representing the 1st Congressional District currently up in Washington, D.C. And Representative Mace, we haven't had much work to do over the last few weeks because of this government shutdown. Now, what's the deal here? When are we going to reopen the federal government, get our military paid, get our air traffic controllers paid, refill the coffers when it comes to some of the government assistance programs that are out there? Good morning, by the way.
Hey, good morning. And who knows? This is a stalemate. This is the Schumer shutdown. Democrats did this. Thank God that Donald Trump is president, because he has somehow, by a miracle of his grace, found a way to continue to pay our military through this shutdown. He's doing that. But there are other folks that aren't going to get paid. Other federal employees on the 1st of November or some this week didn't get their paychecks. We have people who are not going to be able to pay their rent or pay their mortgage or pay their have their car payment made. We've got people who are on SNAP or WIC where that's going to run out. I am encouraging everyone in South Carolina to find a food bank this week. Go volunteer for an hour. Bring some items in that you can give to someone else that you aren't going to consume, because there are people who will go hungry as long as this continues.
I mean, playing games with people's lives, political games at that, because, I mean, when it comes down to it, and when you add up the facts of this discussion, first and foremost, I mean, the tradition, right? Minority party, government funding. It would be great to just have a budget, pass the budget, heck, even move forward maybe with a balanced budget. We haven't done that since 1996, so don't expect that to happen anytime soon. But bottom line, minority party, they don't have much in terms of decision rights when it comes down to these sorts of things. And they're trying to hold the line, to take a popular phrase out of our congresswoman here from the 1st Congressional District. I don't think it's going to work out well for them, you know, when it comes push comes to shove here.
No, and they're asking to reopen the government. They have voted for a clean CR, this particular CR, 13 previous times. And they're saying, well, this is a health care debate. We've got to fix Obamacare, et cetera. And they had all of Joe Biden's presidency to do whatever they wanted to with Obamacare, and they didn't do that. But to reopen the government, they're making $1.5 trillion in demands of President Trump and of Republicans, and we're talking about $200 billion to provide free health care to illegals. We're talking about $2.3 million to send your taxpayer dollars to the continent of Africa to help fund locusts, insects. They want to send millions of dollars to insects in Africa. They want tens of millions of dollars to pay for feminine democracy in Honduras and other godforsaken places. I have no idea what that means. And quite frankly, I don't give a damn. I don't care. Why are we paying for these things? And why is that the demand to reopen the government? Ask a Democrat that question, because they can't answer it.
Representative Nancy Mace, I wish a Democrat would answer some of the inquiries that we send out on a regular basis to have them on to talk about these sorts of things. And it's just to, you know, not to jockey for, you know, political favors or whatever it might be. We just want to talk about the issues at hand. And we'd love to speak to a Democrat, but they rarely answer any of our emails. And if they do, it's, you know, no comment or no thanks, maybe another time. Now, having said that, you know, when you look at the situation surrounding health care, you know, right? It was the Democrats without any Republican votes that created this subsidy deadline, right? That ends at the end of 2025. Mm-hmm. They could have continued it, you know, forever and ever and ever. They set that deadline because it was under the guise of the pandemic, emergency subsidies. And it once again showcases that Obamacare was a complete mess. You know, we knew it when they passed it because we had to pass the bill before we could read what was in it.
Republicans passed that bill. The reason we have Obamacare today, I'm not going to sit here and blame Democrats. Republicans voted for it. And what it has done is it has destroyed health care in our country. It has destroyed health care in South Carolina. And when you subsidize education, health care, whatever it is, the cost of that service goes up because it's being subsidized by taxpayers, because it's not their money, whether it's the hospital or the education system, because it's your money, not theirs, they waste a lot of it. And we have things like PBMs here in South Carolina that are the middleman between your care and your hospital, driving up the cost. Thankfully, Trump came up with the idea of TrumpRx.com to have full transparency in pharmaceuticals, where they're now going to be held accountable, where prices will be transparent. You can get the best deal. But we didn't have that before Trump, and that's the kind of thing we need to have. And talking about healthcare in South Carolina, we got to break up some of these monopolies. It wasn't until 2 years ago, and I wrote the bill on this as a state lawmaker, that we finally got rid of the Certificate of Need program that would mandate that government had to approve your medical care facility when it really should be the market. It shouldn't be the government deciding winners and losers in the marketplace. That drove up the cost of your health care, not allowing nurse practitioners or doctors or PAs to fully practice what they're certified to do. Limits the ability for you to get health care. We don't have OBGYN doctors in 14 counties across South Carolina. And, you know, we're a state run by Republicans, and we have allowed the cost of your health care to go up right here in bright red South Carolina. And not under my watch when I'm governor. We're going to end that monopoly.
Well, as you said, kind of want to be that change agent, even though that we are a Republican-heavy voting state, maybe in name only when it comes to some of the issues and principles that you know, Republicans are meant to stand on. Having said that, talking again with Congressman Nancy Mace, how are things going when it comes to your campaign fundraising and what you're hearing on the campaign trail?
Oh, it's fantastic. I don't know. We had our first quarterly reports for Q3 come out for fundraising. My opponents, had a few hundred supporters in the state of South Carolina. We've had thousands. So I don't see it as a horse race. And right now we're just working really hard to earn the support, to earn the trust of South Carolina Republican primary voters everywhere across the state. We're traveling across the state. We're asking for help. People are stepping up, stepping forward to make this dream a reality. And we're deeply humbled by it. But we're not going to rest on our laurels, and no one's going to work harder than I will for you.
I know just the other day you were in your neck of the woods at the state port, big luncheon. They have a new head of the system there, obviously a crucial and vital economic engine that helps our state move forward. What's the status of our state port in terms of investment that we've poured in and just truly how much of an economic impact it has across our state?
One in every 9 full-time jobs in South Carolina can be attributed to the South Carolina Port Authority because of not just jobs at the port, but the jobs that are created, whether it's a truck driver hauling containers out of the port, whether it is an engineer on the train, you know, getting things in through the inland port, exporting imports, manufacturers, subcontractors to the manufacturers, you name it, thousands and thousands of jobs have been created through the Port of South Carolina. And also it's about an $87 billion investment, economic development to the state. So it's important not just to Charleston, but it's important up and down every county across the state of South Carolina depends on that port. And with the tariffs and the way that manufacturing is coming back to the United States with Donald Trump as president, we're going to see more manufacturing, particularly in vehicle manufacturing here in South Carolina. Again, jobs are going to grow. The port is going to grow under the leadership and tenure of President Trump.
Hey, one of the things that is a big issue here in the state of South Carolina and has been a big talking point amongst people like yourself running for governor next year has been the idea of judicial reform. They moved forward with a piece of legislation the last session. They'll reconvene coming up in January. Talk about the way we pick judges, which is very unique. It was one of two states that does it the way we do.
Correct.
In terms of our legislature. Mm-hmm. And then holding those judges to account. I caught a story from down your way pertaining to some creep who essentially was soliciting minor children, got in contact with some other guy in Florida, just a mess.
Obviously, infants. We're talking about two-month-old infants, even, allegedly.
Ugh.
Horrible stuff.
I mean, how do we create some sort of benchmark or a parameter around holding, as I said, judges to account? Because essentially, they can run scot-free and make decisions without any sort of...
Well, it's not just the judges. It's not just the judges, though. I mean, it is a problem, and I'm the only candidate, the first and the only, to come out with comprehensive policies and reform, including justice reform in our system. We're only one of two states that allow lawyer legislators to elect our judges. But it's not just the judges. Like, we have an attorney general running for governor. He's been in charge for 15 years. The top prosecutor, the top law enforcement officer, done nothing on this, advocated for nothing. We have a lieutenant governor running for governor who has been in office for 6 years, done nothing on this issue, advocated for nothing. And so I'm the only one who's been through the system, who's seen it, and what we have to do, we must have a report. And on day one when I'm governor, I'm going to have a report put together. It is going to embarrass and shame the crap out of the judges, out of the solicitors, out of the prosecutors, out of the attorney general, out of the assistant attorney generals to show what they are not doing. They're not prosecuting. everybody gets a plea deal, and pedophiles, murderers, rapists, illegals walk free. Even in the Logan Federico case, the family couldn't even be promised by the local solicitor or anyone else for that matter that they would pursue the death penalty in the murder, or more accurately, her execution earlier this year. We had an AG who's running for governor that had a case that he proudly said he was going to publicly prosecute. He did it behind closed doors. And he gave an illegal alien who ran over a USC student, Nate Baker, ran him over, killed him, and the attorney general gave him the bare minimum 1 year in jail. That illegal will be let out, by the way, by March of next year. There's another case in Orange County, Scott Spivey. And the attorney general ignored the family. In my first day in Horry County doing my rally in August, the attorney general, an hour before my rally, because he thought the Spivey family was going to be attending my event, I believe, announced that Spivey's case was closed, that there was no reason to investigate it. God bless Jennifer Foley and the Spivey family and everybody in Horry County and across the state who stood up for and fought for Scott Spivey, myself included, because that public shaming that we all did of Attorney General Alan Wilson got him to reopen the case. And all of a sudden now, because he's running for governor, has been publicly shamed, he's now going to investigate the death of Scott Spivey. So, you know, it's up to us, the citizens, to speak up and know that I will hold your hand. I will be there with you in your fight, because I've been part of this broken system, and nobody is going to shame these people the way that you and I will to ensure that we change a very broken justice system.
I know I got to let you go, but just real quick, as it pertains to Scott Spivey, we'll actually talk with the Attorney General on Thursday. Having said that, and I don't know what went on behind the scenes, but in your eyes, the political public pressure in the midst of a highly contested
100%.
Gubernatorial camp, politically motivated in your eyes?
100%. And catch him in that lie, because he literally put out a statement, a news release, an hour before my rally in Horry County, where he thought that the Spivey family was going to show up. He puts a news release out an hour before my rally, as I'm walking into Myrtle Beach, how Scott Spivey is case closed. No reason to investigate. You should quote his own words to him on your radio program, because the guy is a liar. And, you know, he protects pedophiles. He protects murderers. He protects rapists. He protects illegals. He protects the worst of the worst. And somebody needs to call him out. Call him out for the illegal that he let out for 1 year. And I don't care what the excuse is. You have someone who's here illegally, knows they are, hit somebody, killed them, fled the scene. And he let him out for the bare minimum 1 year in jail. It's disgusting. He should be ousted from office. He should resign in shame. And I'm not saying that because I'm running for governor, running against him. But this is the kind of thing that's been going on behind your back, behind the backs of every hardworking South Carolinian and in our state for decades. Because nobody's been willing to call these people out. But I am. I'm the only one. And I will continue to do it as long as you elect me to do the job.
Never one to mince words. Representative Nancy Mace with us here this morning, Congresswoman from the 1st Congressional District and running for governor come June in the primary in 2026. I know we'll catch up between, of course, now and June, and let's make it more frequent, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Congresswoman Nancy Mace with us here this morning on Hot Talk 99.5.